We'll give everybody just a minute to settle in. And everybody changes classes too, so that might be some folks staying and some folks going who hadn't been able to do that before. We are glad that you're here. I am glad that you're here. And as we turn hearts and minds to read scripture together, I want to say one more prayer. This time I promise you don't have to say it back to me. But I'll pray for us. Let's pray. Holy God, in the beauty and the cool of this place, quiet us. Help us to be present, not only in body, but in spirit, so that we might hear your voice, not mine, and learn what we need to learn so that we might be changed, we might be transformed into people who bring you glory. Lord, help us to learn and to serve your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to read a portion of the fourth chapter in Ephesians, and Paul, or whoever it is that wrote this, is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus about what it means to live as a unified whole, as a body of Christ, what the church is supposed to look like. It's aspirational, I'll give you that. Churches, we don't always look like this, but this is the goal. And I'm going to start chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to skip a little piece in the middle that starts with verse 7, and I'll tell you, it's interesting to read, but it makes some sense to skip this piece. There's this little piece, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, that talk about Jesus being one who descended and ascended, descended into hell, ascended into heaven. It's one of the few places, it's one of the couple of places in Scripture that the Apostles' Creed references when we say he descended into hell, ascended into heaven. This is one of those places in Scripture. The meaning of it being there is no place we can go that is beyond God's ability to get to us, to reach us, to touch us, to love us. As far as you can go down, as far as you can go up, there's nowhere further than God's reach. So listen to this message. I will get to verse 7 and then we'll skip to 11. You're welcome to read it. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now skip to verse 11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it's equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Welcome home indeed. As Eric said earlier, today is the Sunday that marks this transition from a summer that I hope for you was full of fun and rest and a change of pace, back into the more regular routines of school and work and home. Now, you, at least this is true from my experience, these fall, winter, spring routines are generally much more full the activities and responsibilities than the summer is, but fall also holds the promise of new things to learn. I always think about going back to school and that mixed feeling that you had. All these new things that are possible with the fall, projects to complete, new friends to be made, the promise of a productivity and a purpose, and work that is what gives vacation its meaning and purpose, if you will. But if you've been paying attention, if you've been reading the state newspaper this last couple of weeks, then you will know that they have been reporting on a well-documented and widely known phenomenon that's happening all over our country and is really just now coming in a real way to the southeast. More and more, people do not associate home or returning to regular routines or productivity or purpose with church. Many people associate church instead with irrelevancy, or even worse, with hurt and conflict. So, first of all, I want to say to you, thank you for coming home to Forest Lake Presbyterian Church and for giving this family of faith a try, for opening your heart, making time in your schedule to come to worship, to study, to serve with this community of disciples of Christ. And precisely because there are so many more folks who will not return home to any worshiping community this fall, I want to take just a few minutes to describe what I hope Forest Lake's home means. What sort of home, what sort of family is this congregation to be? Now, admittedly, it's some aspirational, but what are we reaching for? What's our purpose? What kind of family do we want to become? And the scripture that we read provides an excellent description of the kind of church home that we are in part, and I hope we will continue always to become. First, I would say, welcome home to a congregation that is more dedicated to following Jesus Christ than we are to self-preservation or than we are to staying the same. That's a big one. Welcome home to a congregation that's more dedicated to following Jesus than we are to staying the same or to self-preservation. That's the kind of church home I hope and believe that Forest Lake is. At the center of our sanctuary, at the center of our worship today, is this celebration of the sacrament of communion. And in the observation of this sacrament, there is this affirmation, this belief that our hope, our goal, are found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this sacrament, when we participate in it, what we are saying is that serving God's purposes for the world are more important than anything else, even more important than life itself. It seems apparent to me that big chunks of the American Christian church, by and large, has confused or collapsed the institution of church with the community of Christ. And what I want to say to you is those two things are related, but they're not exactly the same. Too many congregations have settled for just sitting in pews and making a little donation to the cause. Too many Christians live as though Christ has called us to polite surface relationships and comfortable social connections. The Church of Jesus Christ is not exactly the same thing as the institution. And in fact, what I think the state paper is talking about, what we see happening all around us, it is that institution that is radically changing, and in some cases dying off, the institution itself. But the community of those who claim the unconditional, radical love of God for themselves and for the world, who pledge to keep on trying to figure out what it means to live that love with others, that community, that church, that's not going to die. That belongs to God. So don't confuse the institution of church with the body of Christ. Ephesians, the passage we just read, says, I beg you, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the body bond of peace. That's a long way from just sitting in the pew once or twice a semester. Welcome home, then, I would say to you, to a congregation, into a community that understands that the goal of being able to live together in love after the example of Jesus Christ, while it's aspirational, it is the only true and eternal task of this life. Second, I would say welcome home to a community and a congregation that sets as an expectation and a challenge that all of her leaders, all of her members, all of her guests will be in the process of seeking to be changed or transformed more and more and more into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, better able every day to reflect the image of God onto all we meet. Now, when I say that, to seek to try and be changed, it doesn't mean that who we are now is bad or terrible or wrong. It does not mean that God isn't going to love us if we can't pretend like everything's okay, or if we can't do enough good things to earn God's love. That's not what I'm saying. But the goal of this community of Christ is to be able to look at ourselves and take a clear-eyed look, a clear-eyed evaluation of who we are and who we're not, comparing who we are and who we're not to the love of God in Christ, and to keep on working to get from where we are to where Christ calls us to be. So the goal of our life of faith is to grow into looking more and more like Christ, as Ephesians says, into faith maturity. That's the goal. And Ephesians says that every single one of us has these gifts and these abilities that God has typed into our DNA. Every one of us has different gifts, different abilities, and that all of those different gifts that God gave to each one of us are supposed to be used for the good of the whole community. Service to others, Ephesians says, until all of us come to this unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the full measure, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That's the goal. There's this image in Ephesians and elsewhere in Scripture that talks about the community of Christ being like a body. And what God intends is that all of the parts of that body will accomplish the will of the head. And all the parts are going to work together in cooperation with the head for the good of the whole. That's the image that gets used. So, you and I, as followers of Jesus, we don't serve our own purpose. Instead, we serve the purposes of God. And the purposes of God are love and reconciliation and unity and redemption. So, in a true community of Christ, we look at ourselves in clear-eyed fashion and we say, we are who we are. We are a mix. We are a mix of good and bad. We're a mix of self-serving motives and other-serving motives. And we know who we are, and then we commit ourselves every day, not just Sundays, but every day, to seek to be changed, to seek to be transformed more and more into the parts of a body that serve the purpose of the head, who is Jesus Christ. It occurred to me this week, do you know what we call parts of the body that serve only their own purpose? Parts of the body that will not cooperate with the head for the good of the whole? Parts of the body that only seek their own life at the expense of the life of the whole body? You know what we call those parts? We call them cancer. Ephesians says, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it's equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And finally, I would say, welcome home to a community of Christ that is working on remembering and living out the reality that in Christ, we are all that one body. We are united despite our differences by our love for one Lord. You know, the folks who come into this sanctuary every Sunday, we're different. We're unique. We're different in social status. We're different in our political views. We're different in race. We're different in the experiences that we bring. All of us bring different gifts and different challenges to this community. But the challenge of becoming church means that we remember that as different as we are, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We are united because we claim one God, one Lord. And when that begins to be lived in us, that unity helps us see not only ourselves differently, but others differently, helps us see the world differently. So, for example, today, all over the sanctuary, you see these prayer shawls, which are beautiful in their own right, but they represent something far more wonderful than even their beauty. There's a small group of mostly women, and this is not exclusive, so anybody's invited, but in this case, these were knitted, I believe, by women in this congregation who either knit or crochet, and they make these prayer shawls to be given away as a sign of the comfort and community of this congregation. And I'm not the only one who does, but I often have the privilege of taking a prayer shawl to someone who's going through a difficult time. These prayer shawls become then a concrete reminder that you are not by yourself and that you are in the prayers of this congregation. And so it becomes a way to remember that concretely, even when you can't come to church, when the church can't come to you. And they've been given to lots of members of this congregation. They've been mailed all over the world. They have been given to friends of friends of friends of friends. Prayer shawls have been given to veterans who are at the VA nursing home. This group of women also knitted hats and scarves that for a couple of sequential years have been given to the homeless here in Columbia through the feeding programs on Saturdays. They get handed out. Anybody who needs a scarf or a hat, take one for the little bit of cold that we do get. And baby blankets. This group of women, some of these that you see draped over the edge are baby blankets given to babies that have been born to this congregation. We've also at times mailed baby blankets to Africa for children who've been orphaned by AIDS. They are one expression of the many ways in which this and every true community of Christ expresses the truth of God's love for the world. So we become, through these prayer shawls, united to every person who suffers harm or hurt or injustice or grief. The unity that is ours in Christ is why this week volunteers came together to learn about what they needed to do to be a part of what we're calling the Backpack Buddy program. During this school year, for the first time in our congregation, volunteers are going to come every week to pack food into backpacks that will go to a local elementary school and be sent home with children in our neighborhoods who leave school on Friday to go home to houses where there is not enough to eat. This expression of unity in Christ is called Backpack Buddies. The unity that is ours in Christ is why we're going to keep on working for purposes of justice through that More Justice organization. The unity that is ours in Christ is why we inconvenience ourselves to provide hospitality for families who are temporarily homeless, so that about 4 or 5 times a year, those families can live in our building. When I pulled up to church a little bit, right about 8 o'clock this morning, the parking lot was full of people. They were busy because the families have been living in our Sunday school classrooms. They've been transformed into bedrooms. And so early this morning, volunteers came and transformed them back into Sunday school rooms. Did you know that the guests, our families that stayed with us this week, we had a bingo ice cream night on Wednesday. And if you were here, what you noticed is it's all of God's children, members and guests, family promised, and regular folks who are here all the time. We all came together, we ate more ice cream than we should have, we played bingo, we had to check each other to make sure nobody was cheating, make sure they all got the right chips on the right spot. And a number of the Family Promise families came and played bingo and celebrated and won prizes. Yes, it's a simple, maybe a surface way, but it is one other way in which we witness to the unity that is ours in Christ Jesus. I'm grateful to be part of a faith family that recognizes that we are part of that body, not because we are members, but because God claims us, member, guest, alike. One of the young teens who was staying with us this week had her 16th birthday at the end of the week. And when the coordinators found out that she was going to be 16, was it Thursday, something Friday, Thursday night? They found out earlier in the week that she was turning 16, and so they went to her and they said, "What would you like to eat for your birthday dinner?" She didn't think that was a choice that belonged to her. She was incredulous, and she said, "Do you mean it? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Yes, we mean it. Welcome home." Friends, let us give back to God who has given us everything. Let us give to God our tithes and offerings. Thank you.